By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Good morning to the viewers of Rise and Shine and the viewers of Madini channel. I will start today's program by listening to a beautiful hadith regarding sunny salutations upon the best of creation sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and narrated on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Talha Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala an. He says that one day the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam began his morning extremely happy, and there were signs of joy visible upon his face. That the companions, they asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, what is the reason why we start in your morning in such a beautiful manner with a smile on your face? Allahu Akbar. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he said, a messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to me and he said that whoever recites salawat from your ummah upon you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write 10 good deeds for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will erase 10 bad deeds, raise him by 10 ranks, and send upon him the same amount of mercies. Allahu Akbar. Look at this beautiful blessing in sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that our ranks are increased, we get 10 good deeds, our 10 bad deeds are removed, and also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the same amount of mercy and blessing upon us. This is a blessing of reciting durood upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So keep your tongue moist in sending salawat, as much durood as possible you can recite today. Inshallah, you'll see the blessings which you will gain not only in this dunya. Inshallah, you'll gain the blessing in the hereafter as well. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Now we'll go on to the next segment of the show, which is the Tilawat of the Quran. Inshallah, we'll continue with the recitation of Surah Rahman. Then when you come back, inshallah, we'll go through the translation. So, Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا.
کل من علیہا فان.
زمین پر جتنے ہیں سب کو فنا ہے.
ویبقا وجہ ربک ذو الجلال والاکرام.
اور باقی ہے تمہارے رب کی ذات عظمت اور بزرگی والا.
فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ.
تو اپنے رب کی کون سی نعمت جھٹلاؤ گے؟
يَسْأَلُهُ مَن فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ.
اسی کے منگتا ہیں جتنے آسمانوں اور زمین میں ہیں.
كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنِ.
اسے ہر دن ایک کام ہے.
فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ.
تو اپنے رب کی کون سی نعمت جھٹلاؤ گے؟
سَنَفْرُغُ لَكُمْ أَيُّهَا الثَّقَلَانِ.
جلد سب کام نپٹا کر ہم تمہارے حساب کا قسط فرماتے ہیں اے دونوں بھاری گروہ.
فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ.
تو اپنے رب کی کون سی نعمت جھٹلاؤ گے؟
يَا مَعْشَرَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ إِنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَن تَنْفُضُوا مِنْ أَقْطَارِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فَانْفُضُوا.
اے جن و انسان کے گروہ، اگر تم سے ہو سکے کہ آسمانوں اور زمین کے کناروں سے نکل جاؤ تو نکل جاؤ.
لا تنفذون الا بسلطان,
جہاں نکل کر جاؤ گے اسی کی سلطنت ہے.
فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان,
تو اپنے رب کی کون سی نعمت جھٹلاؤ گے.
يرسل عليكما شواظ من نار ونحاس فلا تنتصران,
تم پر چھوڑی جائے گی بے دھوئے کی آگ کی لپٹ اور بے لپٹ کا کالا دھواں, تو پھر بدلہ نہ لے سکو گے.
فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ,
تو اپنے رب کی کون سی نعمت جھٹلاؤ گے.
فَإِذَا شَقَّتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ وَرْدَةً كَالدِّهَانِ,
پھر جب آسمان پھٹ جائے گا تو گلاب کے پھول سا ہو جائے گا جیسے سرخ نری یعنی سرخ رنگا ہوا چمڑا.
فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان,
تو اپنے رب کی کون سی نعمت جھٹلاؤ گے.
فيومئذ لا يسأل عن ذنبه انس ولا جان,
تو اس دن گناہگار کے گناہ کی پوچھ نہ ہوگی کسی آدمی اور جن سے.
فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان,
تو اپنے رب کی کون سی نعمت جھٹلاؤ گے.
يعرف المجرمون بسيماهم فيؤخذ بالنواصي والأقدام,
مجرم اپنے چہرے سے پہچانے جائیں گے تو ماتھا اور پاؤں پکڑ کر جہنم میں ڈالے جائیں گے.
فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان,
تو اپنے رب کی کون سی نعمت جھٹلاؤ گے.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وآلہ وسلم. These are the verses of Surah Rahman, verse 26 to 42. Inshallah, now we'll go through the English translation of these verses so we can understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. So Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, verse 26. All residing upon it will perish. Verse 27. And only your Lord's being possessing supremacy and honor will remain. Verse 28. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So which of your Lord's favors will he deny? Verse 29. All in the heavens and the earth implore him. Every day he manifests a matter. Verse 30. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So which of your Lord's favors will he deny? Verse 31. Soon we shall take you to account, O jinn and mankind. Verse 32. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So which of your Lord's favors will he deny? Verse 33. O company of jinn and mankind, if you are able to go beyond the boundaries of the heavens and the earth, then go ahead. Wherever you will go, you will find his sovereignty. Verse 34. So which of your Lord's favors will he deny? Verse 35. A smokeless pure flame of fire and a flameless black smoke will be sent against you both, so you will not be able to help one another. Verse 36. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So which of your Lord's favors will he deny? So when the sky will split open, then it will become rose-colored like red leather. Verse 38. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So which of your Lord's favors will he deny? Verse 39. Soon on that day, neither man nor jinn will be questioned about his sin. Verse 40. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So which of your Lord's favors will he deny? Verse 41. The wrongdoers will be recognized by their faces, so they will be seized from the foreheads and the feet. verse 42. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So which of your Lord's favors will he deny? Sadaqallahu al-Azim. These were the verse 26 to 32 recitation of Surah Rahman. Very beautiful verses. Very verses which this surah talks about the favors and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala done upon us. One big blessing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to wake up in the morning. This is a big blessing. So we should always do shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, now we swiftly go on to the next segment of the show, which is the kalam of the day. And when you come back, inshallah, we'll start today's topic. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Allah, Allah.
هو سيدنا
فمحمد هو سيدنا فالعز لنا بإجابته.
صلی علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وآلہ وسلم. That was the kalam of the day. Now, I'd like to mention a verse of the Quran which will indicate towards today's topic which we're going to discuss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, call towards the path of your Lord with sound planning and good advice, and argue with them in this manner which is deemed the best. Today's topic as a topic regarding inviting people towards righteousness, calling people towards good and refraining them from evil and bad. And now is our duty to propagate this message of Islam, propagating the message of Islam, not just for the scholars, not just for the Maulvi or just the Hafiz or Imams, no. Propagating the message of Islam is for everyone. So how do we do this? First, we seek knowledge. First, we need to know what we can say, what we can't say. Well, first, then we need to know what is the correct way of preaching the message of Islam. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, preach with wisdom. Preach in such a way which where your wisdom behind your conversation. And calling towards righteousness, just not a practice of this ummah. This was the practice of previous prophets alayhi muslim. All the prophets alayhi muslim that came, they all invited towards goodness. They all invited towards worshipping one God and believing in the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like this, one of the prophets which came was Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. And he's one of those prophets which is from the Ulul Azm, which is from the high ranks of the prophets. Prophet Nuh alayhi salam is from these, among these prophets. And the Holy Quran mentions the story regarding Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam inviting towards goodness and righteousness in numerous places. And Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, he announced prophethood at the age of 40 or 50. And he alayhi salam called his nation towards righteousness for 950 years. Allahu Akbar. 950 years, Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam conveyed the message of Islam, conveyed the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He forbade his nation from doing wrong deeds, ordered them to adopt piety and only worship the true merciful Allah azza wa jal. He alayhi salam preached to his nation for a very long time and tried every method of preaching, but only a few lucky people accepted faith and believed in them. And majority of the people were not willing to accept the truth. Rather, those unfortunate people would disrespect him in many ways and would trouble him to the extent that many times they hit him so much that he felt unconscious. Thinking he was dead, people wrapped him in pieces of cloth and put him into a house. When he gained consciousness, he came out of the house again and began to preach. In this way, he was strangled many times to the extent that he, alayhi salam, would begin suffocating and fall unconscious. But he would do dua upon these sufferings and troubles that, oh my merciful Lord, forgive my nation and show them the path of righteousness because they don't know me. After preaching for over 900 years and seeing that his people did not give up their bad actions, Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam mentioned his efforts and his nation's stubbornness in the court of Allah azza wa jalla and prayed for the destruction and ruin of the disobedient people. Allah azza wa jalla sent punishment in the form of a storm towards the disobedient people of his nation, and they perished by drowning. These were the people of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, who, when Prophet Nuh alayhi salam conveyed the message of Islam, conveyed the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these people, for 950 years, they were stupid people. They did not listen to the message that Nuh alayhi salam was giving. But what do we learn from this aspect of this story of Nuh alayhi salam? That we learn that Nuh alayhi salam conveyed the message for such a long time, he did not give up. Nuh alayhi salam did not give up the message. He did not give up that these people are not listening to me. Why should I carry on with my message of Islam? And this is what we do sometimes, that we see, we start telling people to do good, but because they don't listen, we just give up. No. You should have this fear for those, your brothers and sisters. Develop this fear for them. Ya Allah, if I don't convey this message, what will happen to my brothers and sisters? I know a certain ruling about Islam, and if I don't convey this message to my fellow brothers and sisters, what will happen to me? And imagine on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when you're about to go to paradise, that friend of yours stops you and complains in the court of Allah, Ya Allah, this was my friend. He was Islamic, yet he did not inform me about Islam. He did not tell me the message of Islam. Imagine you're going to paradise and your neighbor comes, and your non-Muslim neighbor, you lived for many years, 30, 40 years. Imagine he comes in the court of Allah and says, Ya Allah, this Muslim, I was a non-Muslim, But this Muslim, this person was my neighbor for 30 to 40 years, yet he did not even convey the message of Islam. He did not tell me about the message of Islam. And that may be the reason why you are stopped from entering paradise. Ask yourself, especially in the where we live in countries where we speak the English language. We are lucky in a sense where it's easier for us to convey this message of Islam. Why? Because the people that we're going to convey to are those who don't have faith. So we can convey regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can tell them the message of the final messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And imagine the reward you will get. Imagine you made a person revert back into the religion of Islam. Imagine the reward you will get. That whenever that new Muslim, he reads namaz, you get the reward. Whenever he goes according to the rules of Islam, you get the reward. You leave this world, you're still getting reward because you made him a Muslim. Allahu Akbar. This is the importance of conveying the message of Islam. That when we convey the message of Islam, we convey it in such a way where we attract people to this religion instead of repelling them away. And Sayyid Nuh al-Islam, he put away so much trouble whilst preaching, but still continued this important work of calling towards righteousness. He was strangled. He was beaten up. He became unconscious. He was wrapped up because they thought that he was dead. Yet, when he used to gain back consciousness, he used to go back and still preach the message of Islam. And those people, it's true, those people who do go out to call towards righteousness, they do face difficulties and troubles. But when a person carries out this great act in this path with steadfastness and patience, then Allah Azza wa Jal grants the means for his success from unknown sources. He Azza wa Jal is the one who changes the hearts of people and shows them the path of righteousness. In an instant, He Azza wa Jal changes the hearts of people and creates a light of guidance in their hearts. All prophets alayhi wasalam would preach to the nation. They would assure them that there is only one God who is merciful and would invite them to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. But only some people would believe in them. And the majority of people would refuse to accept the invitation. Nevertheless, the Prophet ﷺ continued inviting them and left no stone unturned whilst carrying out this work. And the Holy Quran has mentioned the stories of Sayyidina Musa ﷺ regarding calling people towards righteousness. And this is a work of the previous nations. When we call people towards righteousness, this is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. This is what the Prophet ﷺ used to do. So we need to revive this practice of the Prophet alayhi wasalam, and we need to revive this practice and start conveying people to the message of Islam. And you'll see the barakah and the blessing you will get. Inshallah, now we'll go on to the next segment of the show, which is the daily reminder. And then when you come back, inshallah, we'll continue with the topic. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Hujjatul Islam Sayyiduna Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad bin Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala has stated, advising people to do good deeds and preventing them from bad deeds is the greatest pillar of Islam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, on the day of judgment, people will be extremely horrified. There will be no shade other than the divine arsh in the plane of resurrection. Allah will grant the shade of His arsh and entry into heaven His obedient and distinguished bondmen, including the Islamic brothers and sisters conveying the call to righteousness and preventing evils, as is obvious from the following narrated saying. Allah Azza wa Jal sent revelation to Sayyidina Musa ala Nabiyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. One who commanded goodness and prevented evil and called people towards obedience to me would be in the shade of Arsh. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And continuing with the topic of calling towards righteousness, many prophets are mentioned to convey this message. And one of the prophets which is mentioned the most in the Quran is Prophet Musa alayhi salam. And when Pharaoh claimed to be God, when he claimed to be the Almighty, Allah sent his beloved Prophet Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam towards him. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam reached Pharaoh's palace to invite towards truthful religion, and so that he was with some of his community leaders. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said, Allah has sent me as a prophet and I have come to you with his message. Pharaoh said, I myself am a god. And remember, if you refuse, then I will imprison you. When Pharaoh refused to accept the word of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and threatened to imprison him, Prophet Musa alayhi salam said to Pharaoh, my merciful God has granted me miracles. Pharaoh said, what are these miracles? Show us. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam threw his staff on the floor, which then turned into a huge snake. And when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam grabbed hold of the snake, it turned back into a staff. Pharaoh asked, what else can you do? So he placed his hand into his collar, and when he removed it, it shone bright like the sun. Yadibayda, the glowing hand. After Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam showed his miracles, Pharaoh said to his leaders, he is a magician. I want to seize your kingdom by using his magic. What should be done now? Give me your suggestions. The leaders gave a suggestion that to call the magicians from their cities. When all the magicians got together, a fair was announced amongst the people, and it was announced that everyone should gather on the day of the fair. When everyone gathered in one place on the day of the fair and the contest started, the magicians threw their ropes and sticks in front of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. They presented such a great display of their magic that the onlookers assumed that there were snakes everywhere in the land. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam threw his staff onto the floor, which then turned into a huge snake and ate all the other snakes. Seeing this, the magicians instantly fell into prostration and believed in him, because they were absolutely sure that this was not magic, rather it was a miracle. But the people of Pharaoh remained steadfast on their cruelty, tyranny, disobedience and disbelief. And from here you heard that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam continued preaching the true religion without caring about all threats he received. He continued fulfilling the responsibility of calling people towards righteousness and propagating the religion with steadfastness in an excellent manner. This act of his is an outstanding example for us that we too should consider the mission of the Prophet alayhi wasalam. An important mission of our lives. Remember, there are many trials in life. Sometimes Allah tests his people through illnesses, sometimes through a decrease in health and wealth. Sometimes we must face the fear of enemies. Sometimes we face loss. Sometimes we face problems. Sometimes we face even new trials. This is the state of normal life, whereas the path of preaching is especially such a path where we face problems on every step. In the path of preaching, trials are multiplied many times. From this, one can differentiate between genuine and fake people. It is from this that the paths of the obedient people of Allah Almighty and the paths of a disobedient are separated. From this, the difference between those who make empty slogans of true devotion and those who are actually true in this claim become apparent. The fact that the majority of people did not believe in Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, did not believe in and the throwing of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam into the fire, him presenting his sunnah, the sacrifice, the different difficulties faced by Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam, the end of his children and wealth, the migration of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam to Misr and Madian, the fact that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was troubled and many prophets were martyred. All of these are examples of trials and patience. The trials and patience of these blessed people is a role model for us. Therefore, every Muslim should show patience and when calamity befalls them. And they must not cry because of their troubles in front of the world. Rather, they must have trust in Allah Azza wa Jal and remain patient by pondering over stories of how the pious and accepted people of Allah Azza wa Jal, i.e. the Prophet alayhi salam, would be patient and content upon troubles and difficulties. And these were great men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the most closest individuals to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but yet these are those individuals which faced the most difficulties. And he said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced the most. Amongst the Prophets, the most difficulties faced were by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? How? His father passed away. His mother passed away when he was young. And then his grandfather passed away. And then his wife, who is very close to his sport, his back sport, who was with him when he preached the message of Islam, when he received prophethood, when he announced prophethood. When he announced prophethood, his wife that was with him in that difficult time, she passed away. His sons passed away, children passed away. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Taif. What happened in Taif? The people of Taif threw stones. To a certain extent, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started bleeding. These were the tests that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced. Huge tests, sabr. But what he showed was sabr and patience. So as Muslims, when you face any difficulty, think about the trials that the previous Prophet alayhi wasallam faced. And Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu has said that the greatest and holiest Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that one who is afflicted in his wealth or health, then he conceals it and does not complain about it to people, so it's upon Allah to forgive him. Allama Muhammad Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi states that this is the status of those who have a high rank, that they would greet problems like how they would greet peace and happiness. But people like us can at least be patient upon problems and difficulties and do not let the incoming reward be wasted by crying and mourning. Every person knows that by being impatient, the problems will not go away. Hence, being deprived of this great reward of patience is a double calamity. So we need to be patient on whenever we face some kind of difficulty. Now, as mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the Quran, "Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal mu'izati al hasana wa jadilhum billati hiya ahsan." The call towards the path of your Lord with sound planning and good advice, and argue with them in this manner which is deemed the best. So this verse of the Quran reveals that we should invite towards righteousness in three methods. The first method is with wisdom. This refers to that strong proof which makes truth apparent and gets rid of confusion. With good advice, this refers to encouragement and threat, i.e. encouraging someone to do something or scaring someone from doing something. Number three, to debate with everyone is the best possible way. This means to call towards Allah with these verses and proof. And there's no doubt that in the fact of that if we start to keep in mind these three things mentioned in the Holy Quran, then our invitation towards righteousness will have a much bigger impact than before. And from this we also learn that the importance of calling people towards righteousness, that people as Muslims, we need to always try our best to call people towards Islam or tell them to do this in Islam. If there is a Muslim, preach the message of Islam, tell them this is how you do namaz, this is how you do ghusl, this is how you do wuzu. These are the correct methods. So inshallah, now we'll go quickly on to the next segment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
The viewers of Madani channel,
Offering salah on time, doing good with your parents, and striving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the best of deeds. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu recalls, I asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from all deeds, what are loved most by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He replied, offering salah on time, subhanallah. What after this? I further inquired, doing good with one's parents. He further explained. And after this, I asked, he concluded by explaining, striving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, the best of deeds. Instill in your children the habit of offering salah, O devotees of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When your child reaches 7 years of age, have them offer the 5 daily salah. In this fashion, they will become punctual in this important act of worship from their childhood. Have them get used to waking up early in the morning and then making wudu. During colder weather, ensure the water they use for this is warm for their ease. They may otherwise become averse to both making wudu and offering salah entirely. When his son becomes the age of 7, a father should take him to the masjid. He should also inform his son of the required decorum expected thereupon, and how it is not a place for loud noises, running around or passing in front of people who are praying. When the congregation stands for salah, children should be made to stand alongside one another behind the final rows of men. This will foster a spiritual connection with the child and the masjid. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, how important it is to make a connection with a child and a masjid spiritually. Bring your children to the masjid to create a spiritual connection between the child and the masjid. Help them pray the daily 5 salahs, and when they reach the age of 7, take them to the masjid to offer congregation salah. Teach them the etiquette of the masjid. This way, they will be connected with the masjid, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala. That was the daily hadith which was played. So inshallah, let's continue with today's topic, which is calling towards goodness and towards righteousness. Mention the story of an individual, a saint from Khurasan, Iran, who's ordered in a dream that present Islam to the Mongols. At that time, Halakusun Tagudaru, he was the ruler. So it was the era of the time of the Mongols. So the pious saint, Rahmatullahi, had traveled to meet him. When he met Halakusun and saw him and adorned him with a beard and other sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he felt like mocking him and asked, tell me, is your beard better or is the tail of my dog better? So when Halakusun seen this Khurasan, this man, pious saint, he asked him this question that, tell me, is your beard better or the tail of my dog better? Allah Akbar. Majid someone said this to you, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the tail of my dog better or the sunnah of your Prophet? In other words, imagine the anger that a person will get. Look at the wisdom behind this pious man of Allah. Although the question was likely to cause him anger, he calmly replied, and as he was a wise preacher, I am also the dog of my Creator. If I am able to prove my loyalty and I'm successful in pleasing him, then I am better. Otherwise, the tail of your dog is indeed better than me. Allahu Akbar. Look at the beautiful reply of this pious man. Since he was a practicing preacher, I want to refrain from backbiting, tale-telling, find faults in others, ill speech and unnecessary gossip. I want instead keep the tongue always busy in the remembrance of Allah. When Tagudar heard the beautiful reply from the practicing Muballigh in response to his bitter question, he felt embarrassed and said politely, you are my guest, so please stay with me. The saint, rahmatullahi ta'ala, stayed at his palace. Tagudar used to visit him in the evenings, and the saint would always politely invite him towards righteousness. Inspired by his individual efforts, a Madani revolution took place in Tagudar's heart. the same Thagudar, who's up until yesterday a bitter enemy of Islam, had now become fond of the religion on the blessed hands of the pious preacher. Thagudar became a Muslim along with his entire nation. After reverting to Islam, he was given the name, Islamic name of Ahmad. SubhanAllah, look at this beautiful way of preaching the message of Islam, where he informed this individual regarding how he invited him in such a way, such a polite way. Imagine how you would be. The person said to you that my dog's tail is better than your sunnah, the sunnah of your prophet. Imagine the reply. Imagine the anger that we will get in. But this man beautifully replied and said, I am the dog of my creator, Allah Azza wa Jal. If I'm successful, then I am better than your dog. But if I am unsuccessful in pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my master, then the dog is better than me. So this was the wisdom and hikmah which is mentioned in the verse of the Quran, the invite towards good righteousness with the wisdom, with the hikmah. And this is sometimes as Muslims, when we go out, when the Muballighun, when they go out, when we do go out to preach the message of Islam, we need to do it in such a way which is polite, not harsh, in a gentle way. And we should do it in such a way where we can convey the message of Islam. And even if someone says to us anything, we don't get angry. We don't get outraged and develop anger within ourselves. And inshallah, towards inviting people towards righteousness, this is one of the, you could say, one of the departments of Dawud Islami as well. With Dawud Islami, this beautiful environment works at the groundwork. And this is the main task of Dawud Islami. And inshallah, I think we have a caller on the line. And inshallah, this guest is all the way from London. Inshallah, is going to give his time. And inshallah, this is our Waseem Bhai, who is Zimmadari, he's in charge of the UK level of the translation majlis. So everything that's translated from the Urdu language into the English language, the risalas, the books, the weekly booklets in the English language, our Waseem Bhai, he is in charge, he's the head of the translation department. Inshallah, we'd like to welcome again onto our show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You okay, Waseem Bhai?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Waseem Bhai, today is a very good topic which we're talking about in order to how we can propagate the message of Islam. And one of the works of Dawud Islam, also this is one of the tasks of Dawud Islam. We're working groundwork, and where the topic today is calling towards goodness and righteousness. And this is a task where if this is not just a task of a Mawli or an Imam, it's a task of every Muslim. And if we actually did this task, inshallah, we could do so much for Islam, where we could make new Muslims daily. And this is a task where we all need to take an action upon. And is there any message that you would like to give regarding this topic, or any experiences that you have faced whilst giving dawah or inviting people towards righteousness?
SubhanAllah. You see, Gaurabhai, we're talking about calling towards righteousness. And I'm sure you would have mentioned the excellences of doing so. And the fundamental fact in calling towards righteousness, which we know as Amrun bil Ma'ruf wa Nahyun anil Munkar, we need to understand the importance of it. And unfortunately, what happens, Gaurabhai, is we take this for granted. And we don't realize how important it is in our society, how important it is for myself on an individual level, for the goodness of the society, for the goodness of the community, and for the goodness of my own faith, how important this is. Now, when we look at the concept of calling towards righteousness in a bit more depth, we come to know that it is also commanded in the Quran, regarding calling towards righteousness, where it states that there should be a group amongst you who should invite towards goodness and command what is good and forbid what is evil. It's been commanded in the Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as you beautifully touched upon, that the concept we have that only an Imam Sahib or a Grand Sheikh or a scholar, only it's his responsibility. No, we need to understand that every single Muslim, based on whatever capability he has, whichever walk of life he belongs to, every single one of us, we are preachers. We are muballighin, and this is our responsibility. And if you look at it from the other perspective, you can see that how great an honor this is, that this is a task that was performed by the Prophet ﷺ. This was a task that was performed by the chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their nations did not have to do so. But this is also a distinction of the nation of Prophet ﷺ, that we've been commanded to convey call towards righteousness. The task that was designated to the prophets of the past has been given to us, has been made an honor, a privilege for this very nation. And this is one of the distinguishing factors, one of those factors that that keeps this very nation, the nation of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, has made superior than other nations. So we need to take pride in this. We need to take honor in this. We need to take privilege in this. And first of all, we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah gave us tawfiq, we should offer nawafil in the court, nawafil of gratitude in the court of Allah, that, oh Allah, you've given me such a task, you've commanded me for such a thing, which was designated to the prophets of the past. How great an honor this is, Gaurbhai. So it's basically looking at it from this very perspective, that this is something that we are tasked to do, and this is the greatest of the honors that we are meant to do. This is one side of the things. Now, other side of the things, when you look at it, that if we let go of this great task, we don't perform it, we all can see the situation of our community and society in front of us. I don't need to talk about the evils that have been embedded within our society. Which other consequence do we need to mention for abandoning call towards righteousness? Has call towards righteousness not been abandoned in today's day and age? Mm-hmm. Gaurbhai, you would have experienced many a times parents coming to you, parents coming to other Islamic brothers, where they talk about their family issues, their children's issues. What is the fundamental reason behind it? It is abandonment of call towards righteousness. And in one narration, it is stated that along the lines that once the call towards righteousness is abandoned, you will ask, you will pray, you will supplicate, and your supplication will not be answered. This is from the perspective of our religious side of things, spiritual side of things. The dua that we will make, that will not be answered if call towards righteousness has been abandoned. And on the other hand, we come to know that this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on practical grounds, we can see that once call towards righteousness is given, alhamdulillah, you do feel difference, Gaurbhai. How did you come in Mahol? How did I come in the beautiful religious environment of Dawat Islami? How did our Honorable Nigrani Shura came? And there are many other great luminaries that we see, that we look up to in today's day and in age, whom we we envy. We, when we look at them, we feel we feel only if we could also be like them. 99% of the times you will see that someone called them towards righteousness. That's where their journey began.
Wasim, as I was mentioning, you mentioned some good points. Dawat Islami, it's a beautiful organization. This is one of our fundamental basics. From groundwork, this is our mission, where we call people towards righteousness. Our motto is strive to rectify ourselves and the entire, the rest of the world as well. So we brothers, we travel on Madini Kaflas and we give these dawahs. So is there any experiences or anything that you want to tell people when giving advice, how you should do it? Like, you may face some objections or any tips for Islam brothers, any viewers that want to go out, invite people towards goodness, what tips do you give for them?
First and foremost, we need to have some kind of knowledge regarding what we are inviting people towards. And in this case, of course, it is the fundamentals of Islam. If I say, Gaurbhai, if I invite you towards Salah, and you ask me a fundamental question regarding Salah, okay, what are the faraid of Salah, and I don't even know about it, then my invitation towards righteousness to you regarding Salah will not be very, very impactful. It wouldn't have that much impact. So first and foremost, we should have some basic and ground knowledge of ourselves before we go out there to preach others. Now, whichever walk of life we belong to, we need to make sure, we need to understand that we are preachers in that very field. Now, when you ask about experiences, there's so many experiences, Gurbai, Alhamdulillah, as you touched upon, the beautiful religious environment of Dawat Islami. Alhamdulillah, this is our motto, and Sheikh Tariqah, the Amir of Al-Sunnah, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, he also mentions that the work of Dawat Islami has spread 99% mainly due to individual efforts. One-to-one, according to his righteousness. Now, there's several examples, Alhamdulillah, where brothers today are delivering lectures. Brothers today are becoming ulama in Jami'at al-Madinah. Brothers today, they are looked upon by the society who at once were completely on the other side. And Alhamdulillah, brothers, they went to them, they invited them to the weekly gathering of Dawat Islami, they liked it, mashallah, and then joining the religious environment of Dawat Islami, Alhamdulillah, they now, some of them have become ulama, some of them are acquiring knowledge, some of them, mashallah, their own family members now come to them for, you know, please do dhamma on our children, please do this, please speak to our children. I've had this experience, Gurbhai, where relatives have come to brothers. The brother who was not in the religious environment of Dawat Islami at once, who you can imagine when that is not the case, which side of things he would be at. But after he joined the religious environment of Dawat Islami, his uncles, they came to him, or whenever he would see them, they would say that, can you please get my children with you? Can you take them with you? Can you speak to them? Can you advise them? And this, there are countless examples like this go by all around us, where brothers, they invited someone towards righteousness. They came in the religious environment of Dawat Islami. And mashallah, what doesn't Dawat Islami provide us? Whether it is a platform to become a scholar, whether it is a platform to give da'wah, whether it is a platform to go out there and invite people towards righteousness. Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami has given us everything. So the brothers who have been completely on the other side of things, they joined the religious environment of Dawat Islami, but how did they join it? It was someone who went to them and called them towards righteousness. We talk about our Honorable Nigrani Shura today. Someone gave him invitation towards righteousness as well at one point. And then he joined the religious environment of Dawat Islami. And today, Alhamdulillah, he's a luminous figure of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, of the Muslim Ummah, Alhamdulillah. So we need to understand that there might be, the fortune of someone might be waiting for our invitation towards righteousness to shine. You know, so don't take this for granted. Don't neglect this ever so important task. This is very, very important for us. And this is something that has been commanded in the Quran. And abandoning it has severe consequences, not only on practical grounds, but also from spiritual perspective as well, from the perspective of our faith as well. And we will be held to account for this. We will be held answerable for this.
Just a question before you can take a leave. Is that a person might have this question. This is something which does arise sometimes, that I'm going to focus on myself. Why do I need to go and focus on other people? I need to make myself better. Why should I focus on other people and give dawah to them? What kind of reply could you give to, I think this is a shaitanic whisper as well, but what reply could you give to people that might have this kind of whisper inside themselves?
This is something where we need to look at the seerah of our pious predecessors. If that was the case, Gurbhai, if I was meant to only look at myself, not others, then you tell me, Gurbhai, all those regions, when you talk about the subcontinent, when we talk about the Far East, when you talk about the countries like Indonesia, Malaysia, how did Islam arrive there? How did Islam reach there? If this was the concept that we were meant to adopt, then do you think our forefathers would have embraced Islam?
No.
You see, in Arabian Peninsula, the Prophet ﷺ, he came there and transformed the entire region within a very short span of time. But then the Sahaba who acquired knowledge, who learned from the code of the Prophet ﷺ, this wasn't their mindset. They didn't say that, okay, only we need to learn, only we need to improve ourselves. They left to give da'wah. They left to call people towards righteousness. You go to many regions in the world, you will see Sahaba Ikram, Alayhim Ridwan, they're resting there, they're buried there, their shrines are there, mashallah. They sacrificed everything of theirs for dawah work, for call towards righteousness. You would go to China, you would go to Far East, how subcontinent became Muslim today. our awliya ikram, the likes of Dada Ganbakhsh Ajmeri rahmatullah alayh, Muhyiddin Chishti Ajmeri rahmatullah alayh, these are the likes of awliya who migrated over there for the sake of Islam. They didn't only say that, okay, let me just do my own ibadah, and I'm not going to give call to righteousness to others. So if this was the case, then we need to question ourselves that where would have we been today? Of course, someone came to call our forefathers towards righteousness. They became Muslim, and then this lineage came. Many rivers we have nowadays today who embrace Islam, alhamdulillah. How do they embrace Islam? Because someone called them towards righteousness. Mm-hmm. So this satanic whisper we need to take out of our hearts and our minds. Yes, the first part, we need to reform ourselves, most certainly. We can't leave ourselves and just give dawah to other people. This is also wrong. We need to improve ourselves. But at the same time, this is very, very important for us. If this wasn't the case, then we perhaps wouldn't be Muslims today. So this satanic whisper needs to be uprooted from our minds and hearts, and we need to understand that where it is important and necessary for ourselves to improve our own self in deeds, in spirituality, etc. At the same time, we also need to go out there and call people towards righteousness. This is very, very important for us.
MashaAllah. May Allah bless you, and inshallah, inshallah, hopefully hear from you very soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
MashaAllah, that was our Wasim bhai, who's, like I mentioned, is in charge of the translation department at a UK level, from speaking from all the way from London. Continue with today's topic, Qudratul Islam. Sayyidina Imam Muhammad Ghazali, rahmatullah, that has narrated. A pious saint once advised his son that a preacher of righteousness should make it a habit of being patient and believe in the reward he will get from Allah Azawajal for inviting to his righteousness. Whoever completely believes in the reward, he will never feel any trouble in this blessed act. One must not stop inviting to his righteousness due to receiving difficulties from people. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam continued preaching for 950 years despite tolerating difficulties. Bravery and courage is important for propagating the religion. A coward cannot be eligible for preaching. Whether it is a manner of inviting towards righteousness or forbidding from evil, gentleness, gentleness, and only gentleness must be at the heart of everything. As the benefits gained from gentleness can never be gained from hardness. Similarly, keep in mind the fact that a preacher has to be a preacher everywhere. He must act according to the sunnah at all times, whether he is in the locality or a marketplace, at a funeral or a wedding, at the pharmacy or hospital, in a garden or in a graveyard, to bury the deceased. All in all, he must be an embodiment of sunnah at all places and not shy away from inviting towards righteousness according to the situations. And what qualities should a preacher have? Qualities a preacher should have is that he should act upon the pillars of Islam with punctuality, salah, fasting, etc., and act upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam as inviting towards righteousness, whilst combining knowledge and actions will have more effect and benefits. Make the intention to only gain the pledge of Allah azawajal whilst inviting towards righteousness. In return for this great act, one must not wish to gain wealth, status, fame, and respect. Rather, he must hope for reward from the court of Allah and enrich himself with the true passion to adopt this great Madri mission. I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world. The third quality is that a preacher must not rely upon his abundant knowledge, not only rely on his abundant knowledge, power of speech, ability and capability. Rather, he must have faith in Allah Azawajal that only He Azawajal can guide someone towards the right path. Number four, a preacher must be of good character and have a habit of being gentle. Number five, if a preacher faces difficulty in the way of Allah or faces an angry person, he must remain patient. Number six, it is important for a preacher to talk according to the situation. A preacher must not engage in a debate or argument. Rather, he should refer the debating person to a Sunni scholar with correct beliefs. Number eight, If a preacher sees anything bad happening, he must try his best to invite towards righteousness and forbid from evil according to his power and status. A preacher must always keep in mind the mercy of Allah and never allow disappointment to come near him. These are 9 qualities that a preacher must have within himself so that he can become successful in his mission. He can become successful in conveying the message of Islam. And this is one of the departments of Dawud Islam, according to his righteousness, where we go out, brothers go out every week in a small group where they go out on the streets to call to people towards the masjid, call them towards Islam, call them to travel on the Madini Kaflas of Dawud Islam. Inshallah, now we'll go on to the last segment of the show, which is the fund promo, and then inshallah when you come back, we'll wrap up today's topic. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
It's Dawud-e-Islami, it's a right to achieve.
Great news for the people of Peterborough. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Dawud-e-Islami is purchasing this great building for the saving of your future generations. This center will be providing services for the future generations of Peterborough, a university for sisters, Darul Medina for boys and girls, madrasa and masjid. All of these amazing facilities your Dawud Islami is providing. Now today, we need your help. The people of Peterborough and surrounding, this is your future, this is for your generations. Amir Ahl Sunnat has made the dua and he has titled this as Fizan-e-Islam.
Dawud Islami ke markazi majlis shura ke rukn al-haj Abdul Habib Attari ke zariye ye khushkhabari mili ke Dawud Islami UK ke alaqe Cambridge Shire mein ghair muslimon ki sabiqa ibadatgah khareed rahi hai. Is jagah ki qeemat taqreeban 12.5 lakh pounds hai. جو پاکستانی کرنسی میں تقریباً 37 کروڑ روپے کے لگ بھگ بنتی ہے انشاءاللہ الکریم اس جگہ پر عظیم الشان مسجد کے علاوہ جامعت المدینہ للبنات مدرسۃ المدینہ اور دار المدینہ وغیرہ کی تعمیرات بھی ہوں گی تمام عاشقان رسول سے میری ریکویسٹ ہے کہ اس نیک کام میں خود بھی کوآپریٹ کریں اور دوسروں کو بھی اس کی ترغیب دلائیں انشاءاللہ الکریم دنیا آخرت میں اس کی بے شمار برکتیں پائیں گے
انشاءاللہ الکریم
الحمدللہ رب العالمین والصلاۃ والسلام علی خاتم النبیین یا رب المصطفیٰ جل جلالہ وصلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم جو اسلامی بھائی اسلامی بہنیں اس جگہ کی خریداری کے لیے خود مالی تعاون کریں دوسروں سے تعاون کروائیں ان سب کو دنیا آخرت کی بے شمار بھلائیاں نصیب فرما اور اپنی راہ میں خرچ کرنے کی برکت سے ان کی مشکلیں حل کر دے
اللہم آمین
So let's bring this dream alive let's all pull together you can find the details of where to donate to this project so let's pull together as a community for the future generations allow Dawud Islami to spread to every city every country around the world
It's all over the world.
Dawat Islami UK Madani Channel. Sort code 309773. Account number 4363 4560. IBAN GB67LOYD 309773436 3450. BIC LOYD GB21087.
Your donation can be used for any permissible, religious, reformatory, welfare, well-wishing, spiritual and good purpose.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Today, we talked upon a very important topic regarding inviting towards goodness, towards righteousness and the importance of this. And how we should do it in the characteristics or we should have within ourselves how when we go out to give dawah work, how we should invite people towards righteousness. And we mentioned the stories of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, the difficulties they face. Never give up. And when you're going out on this mission towards calling towards righteousness, never give up. You're thinking that this is the sunnah of the previous prophets alayhi salam, that all the prophets did this same mission. Should have some hope within yourself. And inshallah, by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will become successful. If you don't find any result in this world, you will definitely find result in the hereafter. So from today's program, make your aim that inshallah, I'm going to try to make myself better and make the entire world better. This is the motto of Dawood Islam, that I must strive to rectify myself and the people of the entire world, inshallah, azza wa jalla. I leave you with this motto. Have this instilled within your hearts. Inshallah, till next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.